Well, good morning. I was quite concerned that I wouldn't be able to record this message this evening for the next day. As you've probably realized, I'm recording the messages late on a Saturday evening to be sent out on a Sunday morning because we were having such a busy party next to us that I could almost not hear myself think, and I was wondering how disruptive it was going to be to this message, but I'm very grateful that it's come to an end and there's a little peace and quiet. So let's pray first. Lord, as we again just reflect on this passage today, we pray truly that you would speak to us, Lord, that we would listen to you and you would speak as you encourage us in this passage. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Well, as we come to the end of the book and of Hebrews, the writer is beginning to tell us some of the things we must do because of all that went before in the book. So far in this book of Hebrews, we've learnt this one incredible truth. Jesus is superior in every way possible. That's the great message of the book of Hebrews. It's all about Jesus. And so the question that flows out of that is, so what? So in the passage today we're looking at today, I want you to listen to some of the commands God gives us through the writer to the book of Hebrews. So verse 14, right away, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up or causes trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the eldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was being commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Now, the most important command: see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, "Once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens." The word "once more" indicates the removal of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. I called my message today, Reasons Why We Should Listen to God. And it's based on verse 25, See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. There are many voices calling for our attention these days. As we move towards another election opportunity, every political party is trying to get you to listen to their message. Did you know that there were 1,081 political parties registered for the next municipal elections? 1,081. Now, thankfully, a lot of them are very localized. But friends, imagine we're going to have to listen to 1,081 parties and their messages for us to get to the truth. It's going to be a little bit overwhelming. So I encourage you, you've got to listen. And you rather listen to God than the 1,081 political parties. So why should we listen to God? First of all, we should listen to God because God wants the best for us. Verse 14 says, Make every effort to live in peace with all men and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see God. Friends, God's desire is only good for us. He wants these two wonderful things for us. First of all, he wants us to have peace with each other. Make every effort, he says, to live in peace with one another. You know, this world would be a much better place if all made it their goal to be at peace. Now, why have we got 1,081 different political parties, friends? Because everybody wants to have their own say. Nobody wants to listen to each other. Nobody wants to be at peace with each other. Everybody wants to be better than everybody else. Friends, unfortunately, Satan has no desire to see a peaceful world, so continues to sow seeds of hatred in people's hearts. But God wants the best for us. Make every effort. But not only does he want us to live in peace with each other, he wants us to live in peace with him. Verse 14 carries on, says, Make every effort to be holy. Friends, the only way for us to have fellowship with the Father is to become like him. The rest of the verse is very clear. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Friend, why has God told us all these things? Why has the writer to the Hebrews written all this incredible book? Why has he shown us that, friends, Jesus is superior to every way? Simply, friends, because God wants us to have peace with him. That's the great message of the Bible. Friends, God reconciling us to himself. That's the gospel message. That's the great truth that we have. He's calling, come to me. I want to be your friend. I want to be in relationship with you. So friends, we should listen to him because God wants the best for us. Secondly, we should listen to him because, now this is scary, God may stop speaking. Listen to verse 15. See to it, he says, that no one misses the grace of God. Friends, there's a danger that God may stop speaking. I don't know how far we're from that point, but friends, he may stop speaking, and there are a few reasons why he may stop speaking, and some of them are contained in this verse. Let's see what these verses, see what some of them says. First of all, God may stop speaking if we persist in false religion. Verse 15 says, See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. That's an interesting verse. And it's simply that verse refers back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29, verses 16 to 18. This is what it says. You yourselves know how we lived in Egypt and how we passed through the countries on our way here. You saw among them the detestable idols and images of wood and stone, of silver and gold. Now's this verse. Make sure that there is no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose hearts turn away from the Lord our God, to go and worship the gods of these nations. Make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison. You see, friends, the symbol of rebellion against God happened at a time when Israel needed water, at a place called Meribah, and later on became Mara, bitterness. Ruth said, don't call me Ruth anymore, call me Mara, I'm bitter. Friends, every time Israel rebelled against God, God was ready to stop speaking to them. Moses had to plead on their behalf on many occasions. And friends, the time may be coming where God stops speaking to his people because they've turned their back on him. It's like speaking to a blank wall. Secondly, friends, God may stop speaking not only when there's false religion, but when there's fake religion. Look at verse 16. See that no one, he says, is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the eldest son. Friends, we're living in days of much fake religion. Churches have just become businesses, and profit is their motive. The number of reported cases of sexual immorality and fraud in churches, friends, is increasing alarmingly. And we need to be very concerned about the number of people who are practicing fake religion. Let me give you an example. This last week, I read an article in a website called Church Leaders. This is what the article reported. They reported that Jesse Duplantis argued during a live broadcast that the reason why Jesus had not yet returned is that people aren't giving generously enough to ministries like his and Kenneth Copeland's. Friends, I ask you, with tears in my eyes, can't we be done with false teachers? That's absolute rubbish. The reason Jesus hasn't returned, friends, is because God is gracious and giving us opportunity to respond to the gospel message. God is the only one who knows the dates and times. Jesse Duplantis or Kenneth Copeland, friends, have got no clue about when that's going to happen. Please stop following fake religion. They may sound Christian, friends, but their motive is greed. I wonder if you know how much those guys are worth. Go and look at their, Google their net worth and see how much money they have made out of religion. Thirdly, we should listen to God. Because, friends, God is an awesome, fearful God. Verse 18 through 21 just reminds us of the image of God as he appeared to the Israelites at the time of giving the Ten Commandments. It says, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged for no further word to be spoken from them. Friends, God has spoken. God has spoken clearly in the past. Friends, this occasion was the giving of the Ten Commandments on the two tablets of stone. You know, I'm always amazed at the reaction of the children of Israel. They had just been saved in an incredible way from Egypt. They had just entered into this wonderful covenant with God. They were at a mountain which Moses had ascended, covered with mist. They could hear God's voice. Yet, because Moses took just a little bit too long to come back, they quickly go back to their old ways. Friends, I'm amazed God didn't deal more severely with Israel. I'm amazed he just didn't wipe them out at that point in time. But for the plea of mercy from Moses, God was ready to do that, friends. God spoke. He was speaking from the mountain. The people weren't listening to him. But friend, God continues to speak. In the opening verses of the book of Hebrews, we read this: in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets in many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Friends, in the opening verses of this passage, friend, God is reminding us that he's an awful, fearful God. An awesome, fearful God, I should say. Friends, he's the God of the Old Testament, but he's also the God of the New Testament. He revealed himself in incredible ways in the Old Testament, and he revealed himself in the most incredible way in the person of Christ. Surely we should listen to him. God came to earth to tell us about himself, to redeem us for himself. Friends, listen to him. These other gods that other people claim to follow, there's nothing in comparison to who our God is, friends. God is our fearful, awesome God. Fourthly, we should listen to God, friends, because, man, we're going to be in his company for all eternity. Verse 22 tells us, you've come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the place of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. It's an incredible picture of heaven, friends, that the writer to the book of Hebrews is giving us. And he's saying to us, listen to God, friends, because, friends, heaven's going to be a joyful place. You've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. Just think of the shepherds at the birth of Jesus. Luke 22, verse 13 and 14 says, suddenly a great cloud in the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Amen. Listen to God. Heaven's a lekker place, man. It's a joyful place. God wants you to be there. It's not only a joyful place, it's a place that's been chosen, friends. It's the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven that are there. Notice, friends, only firstborn are there. Why do we say that? Because you see, friends, God only has children. God doesn't have grandchildren. You don't become a Christian by inheriting Christianity from somebody else. You become a Christian, friends, when you choose to follow Jesus yourself. But firstborn doesn't only mean that you have chosen to become a child of God. Firstborn also means the one who receives the double blessing. He just complained about Esau. Esau, who sold his birthright. Friends, we are not like Esau. We've chosen to receive the blessing. Friends, God wants you to listen to him, because, friends, we're going to be with him for all eternity. Not only that, not only heaven is heaven a joyful place and a chosen place, it's a perfect place. It says you've come to the God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. Friends, why is it a perfect place? It's a perfect place because the righteous judge has declared innocent those made perfect on earth through what Jesus has done. That passage tells us, on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Friends, most importantly, we should listen to God, because not only is heaven a joyful place, not only is it a chosen place, not only is it a perfect place, friends, it's a Christ-filled place. It says we have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the spilt blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Oh, friend, come to Jesus. Come, listen to God. Because, friends, one day we're going to be in the company of Jesus, face to face. Who would not want that? Who would not want to be in heaven where Jesus is? Regardless of what you think about Jesus, friends, he is still the greatest leader who ever walked the face of this earth. Don't you want to spend time with him? Listening to him? Hearing his voice? Enjoying him? Fifthly, we should listen to God because God will not be silenced. Verse 25 to 27 or 29 says, see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. Friends, first of all, God judges those who do not listen in the past, who did not listen in the past. Friends, it says, if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? You see, friends, God replaced Israel with a church. Now, if God replaced Israel with a church, what stops him doing it again? Friend, we need to listen to God. God can use whatever means he wants, friends. If we don't want to listen to him, he may just replace us with somebody else. Friends, not only that, God won't only be silenced. Friend, God destroyed the disobedient before. He says at that time the earth shook. His voice shook the earth. Now he has promised once more, I will shake not only the earth but the heavens. The word once more indicates the removal of what can be shaken. Friend, God pushed the reset button once at the time of the flood, and he's going to do it again at the end of time. This time it's going to be very different. At the time of the flood, he just drowned out all of those whose voices were against his. But friends, at the time when he comes again, he's replacing the whole shebang. Everything, friends. It's all going to be replaced. Friends, let me remind you, God will not be silenced. God will deal with sin severely, friends. The last verse says, our God is a consuming fire. Friend, don't mess with God. He wants you to listen to him. He's not somebody that you can take lightly. Friends, I encourage you, listen. And then one final reason. We should listen to God because God listens to us. Look at verse 28, says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Man, we've got such a privilege to talk to the Almighty God. Friends, we need to be continually expressing our thanks in praise and worship, in reverence and awe. Because, friends, God listens. God hears our voice. Do we? Do we listen when God speaks? How does he speak? He speaks through his word. Primarily, if you want to know the voice of God today, friends, read his word. He has said everything that you ever need to really know in his word. In the past, he spoke in many and various ways, Hebrews told us, but now he has spoken. That Greek word has means in completion, he has spoken. But friends, he also speaks through his works. Friends, sometimes God works in mysterious ways. He speaks through his ways. Sometimes he closes a door and sometimes he opens a door. That's how God speaks. Sometimes the circumstances around us tell us what God is doing, and then he speaks through his workers. Sometimes, friends, the voice of a fellow believer will convey the voice of God. As you listen to the advice of somebody under the inspiration of God, God could be speaking to you through the voice of fellow workers. God speaks, friends, through his word, through his works, through his ways, and through his workers. Are we listening? He listens. Are we listening to him? Let's pray together. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Help us not to be like a Samuel, Lord, but help us respond like Samuel did in the end. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Well, listen for the voice of God, friends. He's ready and eager to speak into your life. Amen.